Hello everyone, and welcome to News Junkie Northern Ireland's first ever sports broadcast. I'm Dale Lockhart, and each week I will be joined by Colin Miller, and we'll be going over all the happenings of local sport, from rugby to football. In this episode, we will have a roundup of all the weekend's Carling Premiership matches, updates on how the UUC netball team got on in their first round of competitive action. We'll find out how the North Coast local hero, GMAC, got on with Rory McIlroy at the Gulf World Cup in China. And we'll also be summing up Ulster's game from Friday night's defeat to Glasgow. So now that the introductions are out of the way, let's get down to business and head over to Colin to find out how the local sides fared in Saturday's Carling Premiership games.
A dramatic late winner at Solitude handed Cliftonville all 3 points against Glentoran as the Reds clinched their 11th straight victory in a row. The Glens had taken an early lead when Stephen Carson's devilish cross eluded everyone and crept in at the far post. The home side responded well to this setback and had the lion's share of possession and opportunities. However, it wasn't until the 72nd minute that they broke the visitors' resistance. All eyes were on Cliftonville striker Rory Donnelly, whose recent goal-scoring form has led to cross-channel interest, and representatives from clubs such as Chelsea, Everton and QPR were watching the match to monitor the youngster's progress. However, it was his replacement Stephen Garrett who grabbed the equaliser, collecting a long ball before striking past goalkeeper Elliot Morris. This set up the game for a grandstand finish, and with less than 15 seconds remaining, disaster struck for Scott Young's side. A goalmouth scramble culminated in a Sean Ward clearance cannoning off Kieran Martin and into the back of the net. The winning goal was fortuitous but well deserved. The two sides meet again on Tuesday night in the County Antrim Shield final. Meanwhile, Linfield maintained their 2-point lead at the top of the table with a comprehensive 4-0 victory at Carrick Rangers. Striker Mark McAllister netted a first half brace with a fine long range effort from Billy Joe Burns sandwiched in between. The icing was put on the cake late on with a tremendous strike from Michael Carville, and that's a possible goal of the season contender. Portadown kept up the pressure on the Blues with a hard-fought 2-0 away win against struggling Lisburn Distillery. Goals in either half from Richard Clark and Jamie Tumulty were enough for Ronnie McFall's side. However, it wasn't all good news for the Ports as they lost midfielder Tim Mounsey to a suspected dislocated knee in the first half. Elsewhere, Ballymena United secured only their second home win of the season, beating Donegal Celtic 2-0. Quick-fire goals from Gary McCutcheon and Aaron Boyd gave the Brave men a much-needed 3 points to relieve some of the pressure on manager Roy Walker. Neither Coleraine nor Crusaders will be happy with their 0-0 draw at the Showgrounds, as they both failed to capitalise on Glentoran's slip-up at Solitude. In the basement battle between Glenavon and Dungannon Swifts at Moorneview Park, a last-gasp Dermot McCaffrey equaliser denied the Lurgan Blues what would have only been their third win of the season. Jay McGee's early strike looked to have given Glenavon a vital 3 points, but this late blow kept them bottom of the table. After the final whistle, Marty Quinn announced his resignation as Glenavon manager with immediate effect, following their dismal run of results. The frontrunner to replace him is former Lisburn Distillery manager Paul Kirk.
So some important games on Saturday, with Cliftonville extending their amazing run of form, and Glenavon's draw leading to the resignation of their manager Marty Quinn. So Colin, who do you think is in line to take up the reins down at Moorneview Park? Do you think it was the favourite, Paul Kirk, as you said?
Well, yes, I said there at the end, Paul Kirk is the favourite, but you know, he's been out of a job for a couple of years. He did very well at Lisburn Distillery. He kept them out of the relegation zone for a good few years, and he got them into the top six a couple of times. So, you know,
got them into Europe even, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, I think once or twice. So he's got the experience, you know, and I think what Glenavon are looking for at the minute is just a bit of stability. They've got the squad to stay up, you know, and I don't really know what went wrong under Marty Quinn, but there was a lot of poor results there, and they really need a pickup. I mean, there are a few other contenders too. Obviously, Eddie Patterson, after leaving Cliftonville last season, he'll be on the lookout for a job, and even rookies such as Glenn Ferguson and Jared McMahon, who are both former players of Glenavon. But I think Paul Kirk announced his intentions to take over, so I think it will be him, yeah.
Going back to Cliftonville, and there seems to be something in their youth team's water as they continue to produce top-quality players. The current run of form probably wouldn't be possible without Rory Donnelly's finishing power, and it seems that his talent hasn't been overlooked by clubs across the water. The Belfast Telegraph claims that 15 clubs were scouting him at the Glentoran game on Saturday, and there are also reports that the Reds have already rejected an offer from League One side Brentford. What do you think of the situation? Should he stay or should he go, Colin?
Well, the situation, it's very similar to that of Liam Boyce a couple of years ago, and he did very well at Cliftonville as a young striker. He broke onto the scene and he made his mark in the goal scoring charts, and he attracted interest in the likes of Barcelona, and eventually he moved to Werder Bremen in Germany. And after a couple of years in their third team, he was released, and he just got rejected at a trial by Kilmarnock. So obviously his career maybe hasn't panned out as planned to date, and I think Roy Donnelly should take a few hints from that maybe he should stay for another maybe year or two at Cliftonville, and they'll help aid his progression as a player. And as you said, there's a lot of clubs that we're looking at him at the minute, and if there has been an offer rejected from Brentford, you know, that shows like how much in demand he is. And I just think he should give it a year or two, and then if he keeps on with his form, he should definitely consider a move. As I said, there's quite a few Premiership clubs looking at him, so that's his oyster at the minute.
What about Kilmarnock? Would that not be good moves? Like, Scotland wouldn't be as competitive as the English League would, but Kilmarnock, they've got Jimmy Nicol and Kenny Shields in charge of them.
Yeah,
Northern Ireland, man.
They've got a Northern Irish setup in place there, and they've drafted in one or two players. Obviously, Kenny got in his son Dean Shields up front, and they raided Linfield for the young Jude Winchester. So they've obviously got a lot of interest in bringing youth through their ranks and into their first team. And if they were interested, I think that would be a good move for Rory. But as I was saying, I think maybe a year or two, and then see where he's at then, and he could definitely make the step up. He's got all the potential, so why not?
Jerry Armstrong was saying yesterday in the paper that he thinks he should go, better football, better, more fitness. Could only be better for Roy Donnelly, surely. What do you think?
Well, Jerry Armstrong's got a vested interest in the Northern Irish national team, and it's not uncommon for people of high influence in the Northern Irish setup to suggest that Irish League players do go across the water, and it will help the game. But as I said, Liam Boyce, I don't think it helped him. And whenever Peter Thompson of Linfield moved over to Stockport, he obviously struggled with injury, but he didn't quite make it over there, and he was out of form and out of sorts. And when he came home, I think he became a better player again at Linfield. So there's definitely both sides of the argument, and I think that like eventually, if Rory Donnelly does continue his progression, he should move across the water, and he'll definitely have the quality to make it at least a decent level. Definitely a step up from the Irish League. I just think he should.
Give it a few options, few years, yeah.
Just take his time. There's no rush.
Well, thank you for that, Colin. And now on the rugby. And Ulster suffered a 17-9 defeat to Glasgow on Friday night. Brian McLaughlin was without some big players, with Stephen Ferris, Chris Henry and Rory Best among those rested, while John Afoa was attending a wedding in New Zealand. This defeat continues Ulster's poor run of form in the Pro 12 League, where they have been beaten five times in their last six games. The team enjoyed a lot of possession in the first half, but they couldn't capitalise on this, which once again brings up the problem with their recent form, as they've only scored one try in their last three games. Poor lineouts cost the team dearly, as two of them were in good attacking positions, but they were able to draw even at 9-9 early in the second half. It wasn't the best day for Ian Humphreys in terms of penalties, as he missed two kicks in a strong spell for the visitors before Glasgow made them pay for their wastefulness. Troy Nathan dived into the corner for the only try of the game. The home side were then able to slow the game down, as the missed conversion gave Ulster hope, but even that hope was snatched away when Duncan Weir executed a wonderful drop goal to kill the game and send Ulster home unhappy once again. Next up is a trip to the Scarlets, where Brian McLaughlin will be hoping to have his star players back, as Ulster desperately need a win to keep them in the race for a top four finish. Ireland were once again left disappointed by a poor final day of golf at the World Cup in China. Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell went into the final day of play with a two-shot lead at Mason Hills, but an inconsistent finish left them down in fourth place by the end of the tournament. The Ulster men have been playing top-quality golf throughout the World Cup, but it looked as though they failed to gel as much on the final day, when they finished level par 72. This performance mirrored that of the last World Cup, when the Northern Irish lads went into the final day in front before being defeated by the Italian Molinari brothers. This time, however, it was the American team who took home the prize, as their partnership of Matt Kuchar and Gary Woodland finished two shots ahead of the English and German teams. The first round of the Cooside netball competition got underway on Wednesday, with all three groups playing throughout Northern Ireland. Our very own UUC girls were playing in Section A at Jordanstown, and were up against North West Regional College, Belfast Metropolitan College and Queen's University B team. In the first game, North West Regional College made an impressive debut against UUC, and were holding them to a draw by half time. However, in the second period, the Coleraine girls came quickly out of the blocks to take control of the game. They fired 7 shots into the opponent's goal to end the match 16-10. The second game saw the UUC girls demolish the Queen's Seconds and rage forwards to a 23-7 victory. Coleraine were then able to leave the event with maximum points as BMC forfeited the final game, leaving the UUC girls top of the leaderboard. The next round is scheduled for Wednesday, although that's been called into doubt by the industrial action. Well, that's all for the action for today, folks. Before we go off air, however, we would like to offer our deepest condolences to the friends and family of Gary Speed, who sadly passed away on Sunday. He will be forever remembered as a legend in the game of football and missed by everyone in the sporting world. We will be back again next week with more updates from the world of sport. If you want us to cover anything, then please follow us on Twitter @NewsJunkieNI, or why not leave us a message on Facebook. Thank you.